This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald is producing today. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services Advantage Health Plan provides signature support for our program. And we start with two gentlemen who have been intricately involved with LSU. Rolf McCollister, former board member under two different governors, Romer and Jindal. And Collis Temple, who recently was appointed by Governor John Bel Edwards. And Collis made news a few weeks ago when he took aim at Donald Rouse, the owner of the supermarket chain in Louisiana, and his attendance at the Trump rally, which spurred the mob scene at the Capitol and five people dead and now an impeachment trial for the former president, Donald Trump. And Collis Temple took aim at Donald Rouse in a board meeting, and Rolf McCollister responded with a scathing editorial, if you will, and these two are long friends, and obviously Rolf appreciates the friendship enough that he is here today, telephonically, to talk with Collis and with us about what happened. But the headline in the Baton Rouge Business Report, Collis Temple's comments reflect poorly on LSU, and he says you should apologize, Collis Temple. Are you ready to apologize today?
Well, what I'm ready to do is just have a general, I'm ready to have a general discussion with Rolf, because we've been friends for some 30 years, and he has an opinion, and he has a pretty strong bullet pulpit in the media. And of course, I'm just this guy that's a part of the one of 16 board members, and I have an opinion. I recognize the fact that everybody is entitled to an opinion, and the First Amendment right says that we have a right to speak individually about things that concern us. And I had a concern about the situation involving the issues at the Capitol, and I expressed them, and I understood that Mr. Rouse was there in attendance, and I think that it was important that I shed some light on those circumstances, because my fiduciary responsibility is to look out for Louisiana State University and its components. I've been a 50-year participant and assistant in terms of providing support to Louisiana State University, and I just feel like it's important that we try to keep it on the high ground and make sure that we don't have anything going on that will cause problems or ill effect the university.
Rouse was not involved with the mob scene. He was just there to hear the president on January 6th. Do you draw a distinction between the two?
Well, I can appreciate that, and I realize that every person has a right to go and participate in whatever political forum they want to participate in, and you know, there's not a major, I don't have a major problem with any of those kind of things. I mean, the guy is a Republican or a Democrat, it doesn't matter. My concern is the well-being of Louisiana State University and its image. We both know that perception is reality, and when you have people that maybe pull back because of one reason or another, that as a result of having a negative effect on the university, going and being a participant in that situation, it just was a concern of mine, and I had to bring it forward.
877-217-5757 is your number. And Rolf McCollister is on deck. Before we go, a listener has already asked, have you talked with Rouse, with Mr. Rouse?
I have not talked to Mr. Rouse, but I've been in contact with an individual who did talk to Mr. Rouse and talked to me. And we're supposed to have hopefully a meeting of the minds and try to get some clarity. Of course, again, I'm not here to chastise Mr. Rouse or his store. I'm just here to make sure that LSU is well represented and is fairly represented, and I just, you know, I just felt like that the activity in Washington was just not the appropriate thing to have shedding light on Louisiana State University.
All right. Well, Rolf, who writes very well and has been doing the Business Report for a long time, used the pages of his publication and his editorial to say Temple abused his position and got headlines, maybe his aim, that hurt LSU's image. You may disagree. It's still a free country, I think. It's ironic that any member on the governing board of a university where tenure protects faculty for expressing all views would be the one wanting us to silence and punish an opposing view producing a chilling effect. Rolf, your thoughts?
Well, first, Jim, I'm glad to hear that you're okay after your incident this week of being robbed. That would sound like some scary stuff. And, you know, so I'm glad
Thank you.
Here with us. And I'm sorry I have to leave a little early for an early commitment that I have. But last week, like I said, Collis and I did speak. And after my column came out, and, you know, we've been friends for decades, and we still are.
That's right.
And, you know, he invited me to join him here today on your show. So we can show folks that, hey, you know what, friends can agree to disagree on issues, but still be, you know, civil and respectful to one another. Okay. And that's something that's been missing a lot lately. But we both love LSU. We love Baton Rouge. And we care a lot about our country. And so the fact is, as you said, Collis expressed his opinion, just as he said, at the LSU board meeting. You know, I expressed mine about his words and actions. It was not a personal attack, you know, on Collis the person. And not mean to be mean-spirited. You know, I just have my point of view, and I can be pretty strong about it and direct. But people then have to make up their own mind on the situation, and they did, both pro and con. I'm sure, like me, Collis heard both sides. But you know, many get angry, you know, and they attack, and they scream racist, you know, because I'm white and Collis is black. But as I told Collis last week, I said, look, I'd have written the same column had it been the chairman, Robert Damp, who's white. You know, it was on the issues and not race. And, you know, and that's Collis told me he got a lot of people saying, are you angry? But as he pointed out, look, families, brothers in a family fight, and because they disagree sometime. And heck, me and my wife don't always agree. But, you know, I think on this issue, what I was trying to point out is that, you know, again, a person who is an owner of a company that is retired participated in a rally. And like Collis said, you can participate in a rally. This happened to be one where the president of the United States, elected by the people, was at. And, you know, is there something in the contract, in the sponsorship agreement that says that's a reason to disassociate? You know, I'm worried about the implications because, you know, if we're going to look at that, then we have to look at all vendors and what their owners do in their off time. We got to look at faculty. We got to look at all the affiliate board members. You know, Jim, if you're serving on a advisory board at LSU, can you be associated with LSU if you do something, if you get arrested? I mean, this is a slippery slope. And, you know, and then, of course, I pointed out about Collis saying he has a responsibility, all the board members do. And, you know, but in this case, you know, the question is that, you know, LSU was on the front page of USA Today, you know, with this athletic situation and sexual abuse. And we're being investigated by the feds now. And Will Wade's been in a documentary, you know, and mm-hmm. Collis, as I pointed out, never said anything about those things or concerns.
Okay. Well, I think he has talked a bit about Will Wade.
Let me make a little response. I have had conversations with people about Will Wade. And as Rolf indicated in your comments in the paper, you said that you had 12 years of service with LSU, and I certainly appreciate that service. And when you start thinking about numbers, 12 years of service at 12 months a year, that's 144 months. And we have had a number of issues that have had to be rectified during my tenure, which has only been about 4 months, and most of these issues were problematic as a result of the 144 months that you were party to. Now, I'm not being critical, I'm just being factual. Mr. Jindal, who was a nice enough guy, he made an appointment to the board with you, and, you know, we had quite a few problems, and we're still trying to work through those problems from a fiscal perspective that came up during your tenure and the board's tenure. Again, you were only one of 16 people, so you're 1/16. But there's still issues that all were put in place and were dealt with in a real tough fashion that we're having to solve. So, you know, we just need
to. Have you brought those up in the meeting as you did with Rouse? Because that's the thing you use a public forum, which let the horse out the barn. Instead of asking the chairman to put on the agenda, that was another thing. Because once you make a statement, it becomes news. And like, you know, Jim said, it's headlines when Collis, you know, speaks at the board meeting.
That's true. That's true. And I have brought them out and brought some of the issues up in the board meeting and after the board meeting. But it just so happens that because of the insurrection and all of the problems that took place in Washington, this stuff just came out. Again, perception is reality. When people talk about things that are hot topics, it gets a whole lot of coverage. And so this stuff got coverage unlike some of the other things that we've discussed.
877-217-5757 is your number. If you get a busy signal, please be patient. We will endeavor to get to you. And we've got some listeners who have posed questions offline as well. So we'll return in 90 seconds with more pearls of wisdom from Rolf McCollister, former LSU board member, publishing magnate, and Collis Temple, current LSU board member. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald at the controls today, and Rolf McCollister with us for one more segment with Collis Temple, and Collis will be with us a bit longer. 877-217-5757. We start with Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on with Rolf and Collis.
Hey, you know, most universities, they have like a public square where you can peacefully protest, you can peacefully speak, as long as you don't break the law. You know, the grocery store owner, all he was doing was attending a rally. It's free to protest. He did not storm the Capitol. In fact, I think he even left the protest after. So what he did was peaceful. And if you're not going to encourage free thought and free protest as long as the law is not being broken, I think Collis Temple needs to be removed from the board.
All right, Collis, are you going to resign your post because of Patrick and Innisfil Estates?
No, I won't resign my post, and I fully respect this young man's opinion, and I don't disagree. I think everybody has a right to express their opinion. And the other thing about Ross is it's a marketplace where it's brought a lot of jobs. And I'm a business guy, and I recognize that that the person did a lot of work to build his store. This is not about being just absolutely critical of Rouse. This is about making sure that the integrity of Louisiana State University is held in place. I'm one of the folk that realizes that this is a great place to live, this country we have. Had I done this same kind of thing around Putin, I would have to go to jail and have some other problems in place. So I regret that this young man thinks that I need to be removed from the board, but I won't be removed from the board. I've been a supporter of Louisiana State University probably longer than he's been born. I don't know the guy, but certainly won't leave. I've been a change agent kind of guy all of my life, and I'm not going to stop being a change agent. I'm not going to stop making sure that people do what they should do.
And that's where I would look. I agree. I defend Collis's right to speak and have his position and be that voice, a dissenting voice or whatever it might be on the board. And like I said, I'm just expressing my opinion about his action there. You know, I agree that, you know, again, I guess the question is, if I'm defending Mr. Rouse for attending a peaceful rally with the President of the United States, if Collis thinks they should be disassociated because I defended Rouse there by association with him and his position to attend, am I now not allowed to donate to LSU to serve on an advisory board? Would I bring, you know, any kind of harm to the reputation of LSU? I mean, so where does this go? You're pulling a thread here, and are we going to start policing all sponsors, all vendors, all the volunteer board members, all donors, anybody associated with LSU? It's just a slippery slope.
Sure. Now Rolf, if I were invited to be on the LSU board, I would certainly accept and be honored to be on the board. But there are people who believe that people like you and I, who are, quote, journalists, should not be involved because we're kind of switching roles. We suddenly become newsmakers rather than news reporters. So your thoughts about whether it's appropriate for a publishing magnate to be on the LSU board?
Well, you know, like I said, then everybody has their opinion. Again, being a publisher, you know, maybe an owner, business owner, more so than a journalist as you're, such as yourself or J.R. Ball or Stephanie Regal. You know, again,
well, I'm a business owner too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it's debatable. You know, again, you know, like I said, I try to just give back, you know, as I do with volunteering on any other association, and obviously being my alma mater, you know, it was an honor. But you know, I got to be held accountable for whatever, you know, I did as a board member, and so, like I said, that's a good question.
You're a conservative, but you call it as you see it. And in your column that was largely about Collis Temple, you do write that former President Donald Trump must accept responsibility for inciting those in the crowd who resorted to violence. Now, many conservatives have refrained from doing that. That's what the impeachment trial is all about. Do you think the president was culpable in this, the former president?
I think that, you know, like you said, he certainly fueled the fire. Now, you know, whether or not he told people to break in, you know, I mean, it's one thing to go down there and rant and rave and so forth. Another thing to start breaking down doors and windows, you know, which is a crime. So, you know, not that, you know, I don't know. I will say this, is I got people that wrote me and said, I agree with you on the criticism of Collis, but you shouldn't have blamed the president. You know, so it's kind of like I couldn't win. You know, I was wrong both. I was, you know, they damn with faint praise, I guess. But,
right.
You know, one thing that I think here, and like I said, I really appreciate Collis asking me to come on and you allow me, Jim. You know, I just think the temperature is so hot out there right now that, you know, people can't speak freely. You know, they're afraid of being attacked on social media and going viral. Some people have been fired for speaking out or saying things, taking positions. They're victims of boycotts. You know, it's sad because it has a chilling effect. And, you know, there's strength in civil debate and us being, you having this show and being able to ask people mm-hmm. questions and hear both sides. But it's become so hateful and so personal attacks. And that's why I'm glad we can get on the show today as me and Collis with different views and have a civil discussion.
All right. Here's a question, and our time is short with Rolf, but I want to get this one in. And it's a good one from a listener asking about Coach O's endorsement of Donald Trump before the season, which it caused a lot of grief for Coach O. But the question is, should LSU coaches be endorsing candidates, either Democratic, Republican, or otherwise, for public office, or should they stay out of the political arena? Your thoughts, Collis?
Well, Coach O has a right to support and endorse whoever he wants to because he's a person who is an individual, and his personal views will reflect on what he thinks. If I recall, Coach O endorsed John Bel Edwards when he was running for governor, and he's a Democrat, and Senator, I think Senator Kennedy really had a problem with that. And of course, when Coach O said he was a fan of Donald Trump, quite a few people had a problem with that, right. Particularly his team in some vein.
No doubt about it. But, Rolf, does that reflect poorly on the university when major officials, and nobody is more major than the football coach, start dabbling into the political world? Do you think so, Rolf McAllister? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what Collis was just talking about how things reflect on the university. I mean, politics is so divisive right now. You know, some people, you know, like I said, in certain public positions, I mean, the president of the university doesn't endorse a candidate. And so, again, while Collis says, you know, the coach has a right, well, you know, Donald Rouse has a right, too. You know, and so, you know, now people can boycott his store, you know, but should a public institution start, you know, making those kind of decisions? And of course, you know, just like I said, I think it reflected, a lot of people thought it reflected poorly, you know, one way or the other. Some may have loved it, some may have didn't, but, you know, Collis didn't call out the coach. He defended his right. And so, you know, does Donald Riles have the same right? And, you know, just how far you go with this. And
all right, let's try to sneak in Dominic and Grand Coteau. This will be the final caller with Rolf, and Collis will be with us for a little while longer. Dominic, you're on the air.
Good morning, man. I think Mr. Ralph there has a disingenuous argument going. This wasn't a Girl Scout cookie rally. This was a rally to defy this country of the results of the 2020 election. It was all built around Trump's big lie.
All right. Well, Ralph, since you've got to leave right now, would you like to respond to Dominic? Thank you, Dominic.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, Dominic has his right to his opinion of what the rally was. I mean, it was an organized rally with the President of the United States. Some people came there because they were fans. They went back to the hotel afterwards. You know, he can say what the intent was. But the idea is, again, we live in America, a free country. And for whatever reason, people should have that right. And, you know, I just, again, I've tried to lay out my points in the column, I think we got to be real careful.
We do have to roll with Ralph, and we'll be back for another segment with Collis Temple. Your number 877-217-5757.
Thanks, Ralph.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Collis Temple is with us for another segment, and a few minutes into the final segment, and there is time to get in if you like, 877-217-5757. Collis, at a LSU board meeting, took aim at Donald Rouse Sr., the proprietor of Rouse's Supermarkets, and Donald Rouse was at that Trump rally on January 6th. He was not part of the mob scene, and in fairness, I don't think he had any intention of being part of any kind of mob scene. He was just enamored with the president who won our state by 399,000 votes. So Donald Rouse is not alone. But Ralph McCollister sprung to the defense of Donald Rouse and went on the attack against Collis Temple. His views are in the latest issue of the Business Report. Collis Temple's comments reflect poorly on LSU, and Ralph, to his credit, did come on the show and talk with Collis and us. And Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates said Collis Temple should resign from the board or be taken off because of what he said. Your thoughts, 877-217-5757. Richard in French Settlement. Richard, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning, gentlemen. The state has a thing called the Ethics Board that all state employees, pretty much all public servants, are required to refresh themselves on every year. And it was instituted to prevent public servants and civil servants from engaging in political activity because of this discussion right here. So is the board above the call for civil servants to not be engaged in political activity? And there is an avenue, contact the Louisiana Ethics Board to obtain an opinion from them to squash all of this discussion.
Are you paid as a member of the board?
No, I'm not paid as a member of the board. We don't get any money or really anything.
You have some scholarships.
We have scholarships that we can offer individuals who are worthy of getting scholarships. We in fact pay for athletic tickets. We pay to attend events, football games. We probably as board members get a couple of tickets to be able to go. But if you want any additional tickets, you have to pay for them. So.
I don't know that your service then is much different. I don't have any scholarships, but I'm on the LSU Media Board and not paid. And so I think what Richard is referring to are paid public employees. And
there are some requirements
that should be followed but are often broken.
Sure.
I don't even think public employees are supposed to have yard signs, are they?
Public employees, state employees, federal employees are not supposed to have yard signs.
Or bumper stickers.
Or bumper stickers, of course.
And, of course, journalists shouldn't either. You know,
Fox News and CNN News, MSNBC, they all carry an opinion. And all of this stuff has to do with basically opinions. The great thing about it, again, is everybody has a right to have an opinion. And if you happen to be selected to be a major participant in any particular arena, then it's your right to express yourself and make sure that you move things forward that are in the best interest of that particular institution that you represent.
877-217-5757 for Collis Benton Temple Jr. His father and his son have that name, and they have carried it on well, all three Collis Temples. And Katie Ann McDonald, is waiting for your call. I think we just lost a call or two, but so the lines are now open, 877-217-5757. And who is on one? I do not know who is. Well, we just lost line one as well. So as we move forward, we do have some people calling in. We'll get to the callers. Collis, you are a guy who's accustomed to speaking your mind. Is that going to change at all now that you're a member of the LSU board?
No, it won't change. I have a right to an opinion. This whole piece, which is a First Amendment right, which is a freedom of speech, is important. What I try to do is make sure that I'm fair and equitable and equitable in decisions that I make as it relates to Louisiana State University, but I'm also entitled to my personal opinion, just like mm-hmm. any American is.
You said this was, I'm paraphrasing, equivalent to yelling fire in a crowded theater. Was that what Rouse was doing?
Well, I mean, his participation obviously brought a lot of attention to Louisiana State University, and we really, really are not interested in having those kind of negative impacts on us. We have enough extremely important issues that are before us, and decisions have to be made regarding those issues, and the issues should not be tainted in any way. Republican, Democrat, black, white, the bottom line is we need to be as informative and colorblind in our decisions as possible, and that's just my opinion. This situation in Washington, D.C., shed light in a very, very negative manner. In many instances, some people would even say that it was basically an act of treason that took place. And I'm not saying that means you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump or you ought to be against Donald Trump. I'm saying that this was an act, basically, this insurrection was basically an act of treason. Now, anybody has a right to go and participate and be a part of it and witness it, but it caused a lot of negative publicity for our country. It caused a lot of negative publicity for a lot of folk. And in fact, Donald Rouse's son, as I appreciate it, said that he told his dad not to go. And if he told him not to go, obviously that was a problem. And Donald Rouse apologized for having gone. So there must be something.
Rouse said the apology should not have happened. So,
he had a right to apologize. The gentleman apologized, and his son said that he shouldn't have gone. So, you know, you need to really look at both sides of this equation.
Okay, Laverne in Mid-City. Laverne, you're on with Collis Temple. Hi, Laverne.
Good morning, Jim. I'm glad you're safe and sound.
Thank you. Thank you, Laverne.
I appreciate Mr. Temple's position in safeguarding LSU and its reputation. This rally was fed through a lie, promoting the lie that our election was not free or fair. It was also fed by conspiracy theorists and was well attended by white supremacist groups. And if Mr. Rouse wants to do business with the LSU system or the Louisiana government, he needs to keep his nose clean. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Well, is the board going to take any action?
I'm not sure exactly what action will be taken. I'm sure that it's a legal situation that's being looked into, and we have adequate legal counsel, and whatever steps are taken, the full board would take it into consideration, and it'll be done. But I don't, you know, right now it's just something that's being looked at and being considered.
LSU board member Collis Temple, who broke the color barrier for the basketball program in the year of 1970, 50 years ago, is with us. 877-217-5757. Rob on Lakeshore. Rob, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, respectfully, I've got to disagree with your guest. A university is a home, a sanctuary for different ideas. This was not an insurrection. I mean, you characterize it as such, but it doesn't meet any definition. It's strictly group speak. I agree with Bishop Hollister.
You're saying the mob scene was not an insurrection?
Of course not.
It was not?
Of course not.
The attack on the Capitol was not an insurrection.
Was not.
I don't know how in the world you would come to that in conclusion, but I'd like to hear it.
Jim?
Yes?
You just meet the definition. It doesn't meet the definition. Look it up. An insurrection, this was a violent protest. It was a riot. It was wrong. But was it an insurrection?
They were trying to overthrow the government.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. They were trying to overturn, rob a free and fair election that the president, the former president, questioned and lied about, saying that it was not a free and fair election, an election that he lost. He lost by a relative landslide, and yet he refused to accept the results. He revved up his troops, and they went to the Capitol, and five people got killed, and they were defecating on the floor. That doesn't bother you?
Insurrection does not include defecation, but your definition of lie is extreme. You bought the Kool-Aid. It's unfortunate.
I didn't buy the Kool-Aid. I can count, Rob. I can count. And the president lost by more than 7 million votes. He lost in the Electoral College 306 to 232. If he were playing in sports, as Barack Obama would say, that's a shellacking. He got whipped. Why isn't he man enough to say, I lost?
Jim, how many votes would the Republicans needed to have had to win all three chambers, meaning the presidency, the Senate, and the House? 90,000 votes.
Well, you could look at Hillary Clinton. She could have won last time by fewer votes than that, and she didn't challenge the election. She accepted the next day. She conceded the election. Albert Gore lost by one vote in the U.S. Supreme Court after winning the overall vote by more than 500,000 votes to George W. Bush, and he accepted the election. Donald Trump got routed. This was not a close race, Rob. You have drunk the Kool-Aid. You have drunk the Kool-Aid, my friend. He got whipped in a rout.
No, Jim, good luck, buddy. It's unfortunate that I have to pay part of my tax dollars to support NPR. You're not even remotely a journalist these days. You're a pure advocate.
Thank you, Rob. 877-217-5757. We will return to the phone lines after this brief timeout. Hear more from Collis Benton Temple Jr. And we'll also hear, if things go according to plan, from Mary Stein from the East Baton Rouge Parish Library. Lots going on there, as always, including a major focus on Black History Month. Katie Ann McDonald producing, and we're back with more Talk Louisiana after this brief pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Collis Temple, and then we'll hear from Mary Stein of the library. But please be brief. We've had a lot of people now who want to talk, and that we're going to go to Bagayoko.
Yes,
North
thank
Baton
you very
Rouge.
Much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My comment is the following. The former president has all the right to contest the election, and he did. Has 60 different lawsuits. The court up to the Supreme Court verify that there is not a substance in any of them to justify any notion of the vote being stolen or the election being stolen. Hence, anybody who refuses that is basically saying our system is not working.
All right, that's a point. Anybody who does not accept the results of this election, according to Bagayoko, is not a good American. Collis?
Well, as the guy indicated, we have a judicial system, a court system, and the court system really is pro Republican. And those guys said that there was a problem. There was a problem with the person in the attorney general and the individuals that run the state of Georgia, and clearly there were comments made and calls made that tried to turn the election. So I don't know how anyone can say that that Mr. Trump didn't try to force issues that really weren't there.
Chris at the Capitol. Chris, you're on with Collis Temple.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm a state employee, and I wanted to address that ethics board question. I have to take that. I have to abide by those ethics rules, and I know them well. And Mr. Temple is not in any way limited by those rules from expressing his opinion. And any inference that someone should report him to the ethics board for that is just odious.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your comments. Sean and Addis. Sean, you're on with Collis. Hi, Sean.
Hey, this is Sean. Thank you. I want to thank Mr. Temple for raising the issue. And I think the bigger issue is the lack of realization by Mr. Rouse and probably a majority of Louisianians of the racial implications, for one. I think the fact that Mr. Temple broke the color barrier. I mean, you're sitting there. Well, I guess he's not in your studio, but
he is in the studio.
Okay. You know, I mean, he's evidence of how close we are from denying access and opportunity and white supremacy. And Trump is just like brought that out in everybody. For us as a country, much less a state, to not have the conversation. I want to thank you, Jim, for having the conversation and keeping the conversation real and honest, but to continue to address, you know, it's the one, it's insurrection, and you know, you accurately pointed out, and I thought the previous gentleman pointing out, like, just accepting Trump's lies is basically leading us down a very dangerous hole, and it's rooted in white supremacy. So I think that Mr. Temple is, above all others, so qualified to raise this issue, and he's doing it very diplomatically and politely, and he's totally within his right. I was a state employee as well. And so that's the conversation we need to have.
Collis?
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I've always prided myself in really being a part of the total community and trying to bring folk together, not only be a change agent, but be a person who tries to forge relationships so we can get the best and the brightest. I mean, when you just think about those kinds of terms, you know, we have a great football team. We have a lot of great, great black athletes on the football team. We have a lot of great black athletes on the basketball team. We also, there are a lot of black folk who are competent in mathematics, competent in science, competent in English, and we need to try to maximize those people's opportunities to participate and to try to level this whole playing field.
Steve in Lafayette, you'll be our final caller for Collis Temple. Steve, you're on with Collis.
Thank you, Jim. I hope you're well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Collis. I'd like to address the comments of the gentleman just prior to the break regarding insurrection, regarding just the denial of pure fact. And I think it's indicative of the larger, I don't know whether to call it conservative or Republican or American mindset in this day and age. There seems to be a numbing of people's minds as to what the reality of our political environment truly is. I mean, to see, and I can't believe that nobody has not seen the media around the insurrection.
All right. And that word, by the way, that Rob on Lakeshore Drive challenged, the definition of insurrection, a violent uprising against an authority or government. I don't know what other word could be used more appropriately than what occurred on January 6th. And thank you. You are a voice of reason in the hub city of Louisiana, Steve in Lafayette. Collis, before we go to Mary, any parting thoughts briefly?
I just like to speak to the audience and say that if we as a group of people are not able to get along and communicate effectively, we'll all perish as fools. And so it's so important and so significant that we accept everybody's differences, move forward, work on people's weaknesses, and make sure we accept people's strengths so we can all move forward.
Thank you, Collis. And with us now is Mary Stein, who is one of the head honchos at the East Baton Rouge Library System. She's been with us many times. And Mary, your thoughts about Black History Month and how the library is celebrating this.
Well, thanks, Jim, for the opportunity to share. First of all, the library, of course, enjoys sharing the wealth of knowledge that we have in all the different kinds of resources, whether they're print, audio, digital, streaming, whatever. And even though it's a COVID world and we've really pulled back on in-person programming, we still can kind of shine a light and highlight some of the wonderful resources and the content that surrounds African American History Month or Black History Month. So along with this, our One Book, One Community happens to be by National Book Award winner Sarah Broom, who is a Black author, and her book is The Yellow House, which recounts her growing up in New Orleans East. And as a Black family, going through all kinds of things that families go through with a large extended family, all the changes in New Orleans over the past 40 years leading up to Katrina and then the rebuilding after that, it really all makes sense to kind of launch it during Black History Month. And what we've done is we've put together a nice series of very focused programs. And the very first one will be a virtual program led by Reverend Jetson and featuring some wonderful scholars in the area, Chris Tyson and Dr. Lori Martin. They've put together a white paper. They've put together a history of Baton Rouge through an African-American lens, and they are going to have a panel discussion that will be virtual on February 20th called Black Baton Rouge Yesterday and Today, looking back to effectively move forward. So we have kind of surrounded this expanded on this with some of the material that we have in the Baton Rouge Room and in the digital archive. There are things on display at the main library, and we've called out some wonderful digital resources that if you go to the info guide on the website, then you can start kind of traveling around. They're also working on digital exhibitions. We're using the software done by the Brew Pitch Night winner from last year, from the Pass It Down company that's now based here in Baton Rouge. And we're using their technology to create small digital exhibits that are interactive and that you can get at from your phone.
All right. That's next Saturday, February 20th. It'll be a free Zoom presentation. Dr. Lori Martin, who's been with us, professor at LSU, and Chris Tyson, who's been with us, director of Build Baton Rouge, former professor of law at LSU, and facilitated by one of our favorite guests, Reverend Raymond Jetson. And for those who'd like to participate in this virtual event, Mary, how is it done?
So it's so simple, and we chose this medium because you don't have to join another platform. All you have to do is go to the library's website. We have an online calendar of events, and we enabled the online registration. So you go, you select February 20th in the virtual. The location is virtual instead of Maine. Uh-huh. You pick virtual, then you pick the event, and when you see the details, there's an option for you to register. And you just click, and then before the event, we will send you the link.
That's ebrpl.com, right?
That's right.
And you can call if you wish. Do it old school.
That's right.
225-231-3750.
Oh, Jim, people still answer the phone.
I know it. I do. 225-231-3750. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Until Monday, stay safe and stay tuned.